So the first thing he did, he started doing some planks. You know, he did 30 seconds, you know, holding the plank. Then he did side planks, 15 seconds apiece. Then the next thing you know, he started doing crunches. And then the next thing you know, he started doing elbow to knee crunches. And as the workout kept going, and the next thing you know, he started doing push-ups. So he did about 20 of those. So I looked at him. I said, you know, let's go on and go play basketball. He said, hold on. Ben, that's the work. That's the warm-up. I said, the warm-up? You're trying to kill me. So as I looked at him, I just looked at him like, is this boy serious? Because he only weighed about 156. So the first exercise that we wanted to go do was the, everybody know, the bench press. So as we slapped those 45s on there on each side, and it was around about 135 pounds, and I looked at him crazy because I'm already sore. So as we hit, he said, you know, our range is 8 to 10. So I hit it around about 8 times. I was like, yeah, it's going good. He was like, you're doing good. And he hit it 10 straight. Next thing you know, he put some 10s on there. So it turned to 155. And I'm looking at him crazy. You know my excuse is going to be, you know I ain't worked out in a long time. So that became my excuse during the whole workout. You know I haven't worked out in a long time. So as we lifted, 155. Next thing you know, he took the 10s off and put 25s on there. So the weight turned to 185. So I'm like, first of all, don't you know I haven't worked out in a long time? You know, that was my excuse. So I'm looking at it. You know how you try to make jokes, but you know the seriousness of it, that you're really out of shape. But you try to make jokes and make people laugh. And he like, man, you need to stop laughing. You need to get focused. So as we doing the workout, we go to 185. I tried to hit it. I hit it. I couldn't even barely hit it one time. So as I lifted up, he was like, man, you did okay. He said, go ahead, take that off and put them on 45s on there. I said, okay, you going to hit that because I know I'm not going to hit it. I know my limits. So he put them on there and he hit it one time and that was his max, 225 pounds. So as we kept going, he said, you know, I said, so I'm thinking to myself, I'm already hurting, I'm in pain. Next thing you know, he said, we're not finished yet. We got to go do some curls and some alternating dumbbells. And he did some more exercise. I'm looking at him crazy. I'm like, I'm already sore and I'm hurting. So we started doing more and more exercising. And through that workout, we probably did like 10 exercises. But not only that, he said, let's go over here and do some pull-ups and dips. If everybody know what that is, you know, you do your pull-ups and your dips. And he did it right about his first one, 20 times in a row. I can barely do it 8 times. And then my dips, I've never done dips before, so I did it like 1 or 2 times. And I realized this workout, and then to put the icing on the cake, he said, let's go play some basketball. Don't you know, when I got in that gym to shoot the basketball, when I shot it, the ball did an air ball. It traveled, and it fell right back down. And I looked at him crazy. I said, you do this all the time? Yeah, I do this all the time. And I realized that I'm out of shape working out. And I said, this man do this all the time, work out and then go play some basketball for some dessert. So the next day, you know, and I could have been thrown off by that. I could have said, yeah, you know, that one time was a good feeling, but you know, I paid my money. So I got a membership that same night. So I was like, I'm not going to waste my money. But I could have gave up. But I kept going in. I kept working out. The 155 starting to get easy on the bench press. Next thing, the 185, 225. I just kept going with them. Kept working my muscles out. Kept getting stronger. And then next thing you know, the pull-ups and dips begin to get easier. Where I can do probably like 15 in a row. Not trying to brag. But I can do 15 in a row. But you know, all through that, it started building my confidence. I started realizing it got to the point where I start watching videos on YouTube about the ones who work out like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Anybody know who that is? If you remember him in his prime, they say he was the best looking man that ever hit the fitness world. But I start watching these videos. I said, I want to be like that. I want to be like Arnold, but it's going to take a long time to get there because he been doing it since he was 16, 17 years old. It's going to take a while, but I kept going in. I kept using. I could have just gave up and just threw in the towel and said, I don't want to do it. But I kept going in. I kept working out to the point where I don't even need a workout, buddy. I go in focused by myself. And I say, it's time to go. And I be like, when I look at it, I change my whole mindset. You know, they got this word called beast mode. It seemed like I just changed my mindset. I said, I want to look like Captain America. Anybody remember the movie Captain America? That man was in shape. So I wanted to be like him. I said, I'm going to go out there every day, and I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to keep working out. And then the next thing you know, you start looking in the mirror, which you used to look like before, and you start seeing a product that is coming into form. But don't you know that the same way for our spiritual life? The same way the things that we do physically and working out is the same way we work out our spirituality. If you turn your Bibles, the first point I want to make, plan your fitness or your spiritual fitness program. Luke chapter 14 at verse 26 through 30. And we'll talk about that. Because you know how you go to a gym or you go to different places and you see people are not prepared. It's like going to the grocery store. Anybody just went to the grocery store without a list? You start picking up things that you don't need. Even in the gym, people don't be prepared, or they come into the gym without a focused mentality or a plan. So they come in, they waste time. You don't have time to waste. But that is the same way Jesus said in Luke 14, 26 through 30, as he talk about count up the cost. Look what he says in Luke 14 at verse number 26. He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife and children, and brethren and sister, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doeth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. When we obey the gospel of Christ, do we really count up the cost? When people don't count up the cross, I mean not the cross, but count up the cost, they don't bear their own cross. People walk around every day, when you think about it, forgetting to count up the cost of discipleship. I just think about what Jesus Christ is saying here. He already told you, if you don't hate all those individuals, not a hatred of hating to murder somebody, but a hatred to love less, you have not counted up the cost. Because nothing can be in front of Jesus Christ. He has to be number one. So he tells us to count up the cost. It might take a long time for you to count up the cost, but you need to be counting up the cost in the beginning of the process. Look what he said. The man can lay down the foundation. Have you seen many houses around your community? I know you have some in your own community where people can just lay the foundation, but they got to wait to get more money to finish it. How long it probably take them? 10 to 20 years. But guess what? That house is not ready to be lived in because they forgot to count up the cost. But that is the same way even for us to be disciples of Christ. We need to count up the cost of discipleship. Matthew's, let's turn our Bible to Matthew chapter 19 at verse 16 through 21. This is going to be talking about sacrifice. Because it's just like, again, I got to put it in perspective, it's just like working out. Working out takes sacrifice. It takes time. And it takes effort. But it's up to you to put in the work. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 21. And it reads, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? And there is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life and keep the commandments, he said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt not do murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Jesus wants you to sacrifice for him. The young man said, I've done all those things. I've been good to my parents. I have done a lot of good in society. But Jesus said, I know what got your heart. When we think about it, I know what's in that heart. I know what's going to be first in your life, because Jesus want to take the place of everything in your life. We hear what he said. That man said, he said that he went away sorrowful. He couldn't do it. It's the same way with us in life. Jesus want to be first in everything. Jesus has to be the center. Jesus has to be the piece that leads and directs our lives. But that young man said, I can't do it because I got a lot of possession here. And the sad part, a lot of people losing their souls for all these things that don't even matter. Because what really matters is Jesus Christ. That's all that matters, people. And it's hard to do it, but we got to practice it every day. And we can't let those things take number one in our lives. And like I said, it takes sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for this is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look what he's saying. Jesus wants us to be living sacrifices for him. He ain't telling you to be a living sacrifice for all these other things. And I know that we work so hard for all these worldly possessions. We work so hard to have our homes. We work so hard for all those things. But one thing they can't do, they can't become stumbling blocks, or they can't be in the way for us serving Jesus. Let's keep going. Philippians 1 at verse number 21. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Look what he said. The same way we going, like I'm saying about me going into the gym. Paul, you got to be focused. That's what Paul's saying. You got to be focused. He said, for me to live is Christ. That's a focused life. Paul was focused. He had his eyes on the prize. He had his eyes on those things that are above. He had his eyes fixed on Jesus, that when any trial or tribulation or any situation come in his life, he know he can do it because he got Christ. We got to think about that, people. It doesn't matter, because we're going to have trials. Little kids, young people, guess what? Wait your turn. It's coming. But you got to have your mind fixed on the cross. You got to have your mind fixed on Jesus so you can make it through those situations. Like they say, every dark day, there comes a what? It comes another beautiful day. You just got to keep living and keep living for the Lord. And you have to be focused. Point number two, this is right here. You know, you got to have a good diet plan, right? You want to be successful in the gym. You got to have a good diet plan. You can't just go in. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that go to the gym, and you can see their bellies. What I mean is, you can just look at it like, okay, you lifting them weights, you're doing all them exercises, but you still got a gut. You know, something's wrong with that. But you got to have a proper nutrition. It says you must have a good diet plan to be successful spiritually. That's why you got to get in God's word and study that word. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse number 15. As Paul is talking to Timothy, study to show thyself of what? Prove that you may do what? Rightly to divide the word of truth, or the word of God. If you don't have a daily diet of the word of God, you cannot be a successful student of God's word. Every day you need to be researching them scriptures. He said something about a workman need not to be ashamed. My bad. A workman. It takes hard work to study God's word. Let me, I'm being honest with you. I know one preacher, y'all probably know him too, Michael Shepherd. I think half of the time he don't even have a Bible up there preaching. He can spit verses right off the top of his head, and he can get it word for word. And I look at it, I said, one day I want to be like that. But I'd be like, you know, the realness of that, you got to be in your Bible at least probably 8 hours a day. And you know, that's a lot of, again, sacrifice. But for us to be successful and to learn about God, we got to get in his word. How else can we defend the word of God if we don't get into it? You know, every day we got to make a defense almost, especially when you hear people on the job, they start speaking incorrectly about God's word. Now, you got to be nice about it, because sometimes if you try to be bold and be aggressive, you can get knocked upside the head. But you need to be in a loving way, teaching people the word of God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, you know, to paraphrase it, the Bereans, you remember them? They researched against who were preaching? Paul, a man who's what? Inspired by the word of God, right? Inspired by God. But the Berens went in there and searched the scripture daily to make sure that everything that he preached about was so in the scriptures. That's the same way we have to be. I don't care who get up here and preaches God's word. You need to be searching. You need to be like this. You need to be following. Every time they turn the page, you turn the page with them. Act like you're reading the Bible sometimes. Get in there with them. But you got to make sure you research. You got to make sure. Because they can tell you something. And then, not to say everybody make mistakes. Guess what? They're not inspired by God. They uninspired men preaching God's word. Like I'm uninspired. They make mistakes. And sometimes you can bring it to their attention. Hey, brother, you know, you said something like this. And it was correct. Now, you got to say it nicely now. We're not trying to sow no discord. You got to say it nicely. But sometimes you got to just tell, hey, that wasn't correct. You got to help me to understand what you're trying to talk about here. Because I need an understanding of God's word, because I take God's word seriously. And some people, they know, and I know they say this about us. They look at us crazy. Look at those people. Those people know the word of God. That's all they know. But that's a good thing, because I know one thing, that one day I'm going to be in heaven with God. That's one thing we need to realize. We got to become students of the word. Hebrews 7, 12 through 14. I'm going to just paraphrase it again. It's a sad thing when you have people in the body of Christ that don't know God's word. The Hebrew writer said something about this. He said that you ought to be what? Teachers. But we got to go back and teach you those foundational things. We got to go back and give you some milk, because you're not ready for meat. And that's a sad thing when you're not ready for meat and you've been in the Lord for a long time. I got to go back and teach you the things of the beginning. Because when you read the whole book of Hebrews, that's all he's doing. He's going back and teaching them the things that they should know, that Jesus is the better covenant, that Jesus is better, that those bulls and goats, the real lamb, the real sacrifice is better than that. Because all the sacrifice that Jesus made was only a one-time deal. And then he got to go back and tell them, hey, he's not of the order of the Leviticus or the Levites, but he's after the order of Melchizedek, and his kingdom or his priesthood will last forever. So he had to go back and tell them, hey, Moses is not better than Jesus. So he had to go back all those things and get him another review about Jesus. And those things that we need to be learning, things we should know, things that we should be proud of, things that we should put in our hearts, because we're studying God's word. 1 Peter 2:2, Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may do what? Grow thereby. It's just like a baby. Let me tell you, I'm putting my daughter. The baby, when it first comes, it wants milk, right or wrong. But after a while, when that baby grows, it wants some chicken. Y'all already know what I'm about to say now. It wants some chicken, ribs, some baked beans and collard greens. After that baby grow up, because that baby get tired. You eating good, I want to eat good too. You know, the baby get tired. The baby looking at you, smelling that barbecue sauce, smelling all that. The baby want to eat it too. But the same way, when you put it in our Christian lives, after a while, we need to be having an appetite, not for milk anymore, but we need to be getting on some meat. We got to grow. That's what the word does. It helps us to continue to grow. In 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse number 18, let's turn our Bibles there. But there's plenty of scripture I could have gotten to talk about studying the word, but I don't want to keep you out here all night, but I'm going to keep you here until 11:59. But in 2 Peter, I got to get there myself. But then, okay, 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3:18. Look what Peter say. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That is not, let me put it this way. He's not being polite about that. That is a commandment. But Christians should be striving to grow every day. To be striving to grow every day to look like who? Jesus. We know Jesus. Come on now. We want to be like Jesus. We know Jesus knew the word. That's how he fought the temptations in Matthew chapter 4 against Satan. He used the word. We know that Jesus, you know, I'm gonna talk about that next. I ain't gonna even say it. But when we want to look like Jesus, the only way we can look like Jesus, we put this word in our hearts and apply it. Because reading it is not sufficient. But we got to apply the principles or apply the Bible. When we apply it, that's when the pain comes. It's just like I said, lifting weights. You hit those weights. After a while, the pain, you start, it's like you start wanting the pain a little bit because you know that you're pushing your muscles to limits. To the limit, I meant. So like I was saying, God wants us to grow. Not to be stagnant or complacent or settled, but he wants us to continue to grow because the more that we grow, we look like Christ. And the more we look like Christ, people in the world can see our behavior, they can see our action, they can see the way we speak. They'll even come to you for what? Counseling? I don't know about you. Have you ever had that person come to you? What you think about homosexuality? Everybody, I don't know. I had that question. Or what you think about this in a marriage? They'll come to you asking questions because they know you have the knowledge of the word. And that's another thing. You're letting your light shine. Point number three. Prayer is our communication line to God. Let's turn our Bible to James chapter 1. Another thing, before I go and work out, I pray. Because you don't know where a crazy person is going to come off the street and shoot up the place. But you don't know if those weights one day want to shake off and fall on you. You don't know what can happen in the gym, an injury or whatever. So before I even started, just like when you play recreational sports, they used to do this. I don't know if they do it anymore. But everybody get on the field and pray. Because they know the seriousness and they know the injuries. Because it can be an injury that can cost your life. That's how serious it is in sports. And that's why a lot of people, they run away from football. But the prayer is our communication line to God. And James, as I turn my Bible there as well. James chapter 1 and verse 1 through 8. We have to pray for wisdom and guidance in our lives. James, a servant of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-binding man is unstable in all his ways. Verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We know at that time when James was speaking to them that people or Christians were being persecuted for their faith. I got to bring it to us. When we fall into these things that has caused life, that is called life, we need to go to God in prayer. Not just for wisdom and guidance, but we need to go to God in prayer for everything in our lives. And sometimes those things that when we get into those dark places, sometimes it feels like you can never get out of it. But one thing I know about God, it's not going to last that long. But as he said, prayer for wisdom and guidance. When we pray for God for that wisdom and guidance, it's to help us to walk through this life. And life, it can be hard sometimes. Your marriage, your job. Sometimes you just feel like you want to throw it in. But I know one thing, Jesus do not want us to give up. He wants us to keep going. And when we pray to God, he hears our prayers. And he knows that God already got the plan in stone. Because all he wants us to do is to seek what? Eternal life. He wants us to look at those things above, because that's why he already told you, don't be worried about these things of this world, but you need to be worried about those things that are eternal. Even the treasures on this earth. So as James, as he's telling them, when you're going through those trials and those temptations, you need to pray, but you need to have a prayer that is of faith. He said, nothing wavering, no doubting. Sometimes we can be so afraid in this life that our prayers can be hindered because we have fears, we're shedding tears, we have all this stuff going on in our lives. We don't know what's going to happen next. And you know what I learned? When we say what's next, and sometimes it is coming. And when it comes, it can hit harder than the first blow. It's just like if Mike Tyson about to hit you when he was in his prime, though. Not when he got knocked out by Buster Douglas. But I'm talking about when he was in his prime. It's like Mike Tyson. Y'all, if you heard about Mike Tyson, he was very intimidating. He would beat the lockers before he even went into a boxing match. And the person who was over there in the next room would say, this man is crazy. So he already put fear in his heart. But like I was saying, when we think of those things, God, he gives us wisdom. He gives us guidance to help us to keep going. But not only in that prayer, we need to have a prayer of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's turn our Bibles there. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, we need to have a prayer of thanksgiving. And it reads, starting at verse number 15. See that none rather render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourself and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. One thing I learned about life, you got a lot to be thankful for. I always pray and I say I'm thankful to be living. It's just like what Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But he also said in there, just paraphrasing, he said it's more needful for you that I be here, that I may do what? Have more fruit to bear or more work to do. Paul was so focused. He said, I got more work to do. And I'm thankful to God to be living on this earth that I may continue to work for the Lord. We should be thankful for our families. We should be thankful for everything that God has blessed us with. We should be thankful just have a meal. Because sometimes we take our meals for granted because we can go buy whatever we want. But we got to be thankful for God because he gave us all physical blessings, but the best blessings he ever gave us was those spiritual blessings. Because nobody can take those blessings away from us. And God, and like I said, we got to be thankful in our prayer. Not only that, in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we need to pray for others. 1 Thessalonians 5 at verse number 11. He said, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We have to pray. Now I'm going to put these two together. Pray for unity of the brothers and sisters in Christ. See, when we pray for others, we're praying for the good of everybody. Especially those who are in the household of faith. We got to pray for one another because this is all we got. When we think about it, we got to pray for them because they might be going through certain situations and going through struggles of life. And sometimes it's good to take that little program that we have home and just sit there and pray for each individual that is on that list. And I got to do a better job of that myself. Because when we think about our brothers and sisters, that is the greatest relationship. When we think about pray for the unity of the brothers and sisters in Christ. In John chapter 17, you know, many people, they don't realize that was Jesus Christ. That was his prayer. But he prayed for the unity of the people who are following his apostles. Because he knew that them trials and those tribulations was come up because they still was human. As they dispersed and left Christ by himself, but he prayed for them. But he prayed for generations to come, that everybody will be unified in the Lord. You know, that's the hardest part because we all are human. We all sometimes hurt one another. We all sometimes go through suffering and pain, and sometimes we don't even reconcile relationships, and we continue to let it go on and say it's going to be all right. But like Brother Jamie said in the class, no, you got to fix that. Because God wants us to have that perfect unity. He wants us to be together as a family. That's what Jesus Christ prayed about in John chapter 17. And we need to be praying for the churches of Christ because a lot of churches have strayed away. And they go in their own direction and we don't realize they are lost. And they are human people. So we got to get that prayer of unity because the only way we can shine in the world if we're unified. And first we got to start at home. here at Avondale. So it's a blessing to have the unity of your brothers and sisters. And God said that is a sweet smelling aroma before him when Christians, when brothers and sisters are unified. Because if the people of the world don't see that we're unified, guess what? They'll never come to the Lord. But the fourth thing I want to talk about, and then I'm going to get to the conclusion, y'all can get out of here. Fellowship. This right here takes time and effort. If y'all just think about fellowship. When I think about fellowship, I'm thinking about a partner that you have going to the gym, because this lesson relates to spiritual fitness. It's like fellowship. Y'all know the purpose of it, but I just want to explain it a little bit. If you go to a gym, let's say for instance, with a person, you're not going to just take anybody. I'm being real. This is reality. Let's say if you get on the bench press, you start to lift the weight. He say, brother, you can't do it. You can't do it. And he's sitting there beating you down. Brother, you can't do it. After a while, you're going to drop that weight. You're going to say, you don't get out of here. You crazy. You know, you're going to say, hey, I'm trying to be focused. I'm trying to be game. You know what I mean? I don't have time for you to be up here downing me. This is a workout. You're going to take somebody with you who is going to encourage you. Who's going to be like, even when you're struggling with that weight, he's going to say, brother, you can pick it up. Keep going. Pick it up. Let's go. He's going to be a motivator. You don't want nobody who's going to mess you up and cause you not to lift weights anymore, who really want to cause you to fight them a little bit and do some UFC moves on them. You know what I mean? Joking. You don't supposed to do that. We're Christians. You live the other life. You don't knock them upside the head. You don't do none of that. But you're going to take somebody who's going to motivate you. You're going to take somebody like Ray Lewis. Now, Ray Lewis probably go overboard. He might want to make you want to fight him too. But you're going to take a motivator. You're going to take somebody when he see you struggling, he's going to say, I know you can do it. I believe in you. Even though you just did one sit-up. Even though you did one sit-up, brother, you can do another one. Because I believe in you. But it's just like when we come in fellowship with one another. In John chapter 15 and verse number 12, Jesus Christ, he said, I give this a commandment to you. And we know what he's talking about, but we're going to go in scripture and look at it a little bit. But he talks about love. John 15 and verse number 12. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You're going to take somebody, like I said, you're going to fellowship with your brothers and sisters to encourage them to do what? Love. In Hebrews chapter 10, let's turn there. In Hebrews chapter 10. Because when we think about when Jesus Christ gave that commandment, he wasn't playing around. He was saying, you need to love each other. You need to love like I have loved you. You need to love because Jesus Christ, John 3:16, one of the most quoted scriptures of all time, probably. Even in the world and even in the church, Christ sacrificed his life for you. He gave his life and he sacrificed it. So he commanded them to love each other the same way. And we got to do the same thing. But in Hebrews chapter 10, he's going to say the same thing, the Hebrew writer, at verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, for not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Look what he's telling them. When you come together, you provoked each other to love each other. And it said, unto good works. Like I was saying, you don't want to take anybody with you, but you want somebody who's going to motivate you to go to the next level as a Christian, even though it ain't really no next level, but continue to grow. You want somebody who don't say, oh, you know, look at yourself. You should just stay in that pity party. Don't never get up. You're going to look at them like, are you serious? You know, you're going to have that look. Everybody got that look. You serious? But you're going to want somebody who is promoting you, say, hey, brother, good job. Even though you probably messed up miserably. But you got to have that brother who's going to pick you up, brother. You did all right, but you know what? You work on A, B, C, D, and you're going to get better. Because it's just like that, even going to a job. It's like, you know, in my local and union, yeah, David know what I'm talking about, and many others who are in the union. You get that one journeyman that you want to just, woo, you want to take the tool while he on top of a ladder and throw it up there and run, you know, because you already know you lost your job. So, you know, because they are just, woo, they'll whoop your butt on the job. I'm talking about cuss you out. I'm talking about degrade you, make you feel like you the lowest person. And I said, when I become a journeyman, I ain't going to do that. Because that don't make a person better. That makes a person want to kill you. That makes a person hate you. So their relationship, when you think about in life, they're very miserable people. But God don't want us to be like that. Christ don't want us to be like that. He wants us to stir each other up onto love and provoke each other to love and promote, like I said, good works. He wants us to continue to just motivate each other, to love each other. You see somebody falling down, you see them stuck in that sin or whatever in life, you can go over there and say, brother, you can come out of that. Because many of us, we all deal with sin. None of us is perfect. We all the work, like I said, I'm a work in progress. It's just like working out. You know, when you first get there, you're not going to look like Captain America. You're not going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're not going to look like whoever you think that you're going to look like. But you got to be like, I'm a work in progress. Because you got to, first of all, get that mind right. Like I was saying about Paul, he got his mind right for the Lord. But he also had, see, Paul was inspired, but guess what? Paul had people promoting him too. When you think about those Christians that constantly prayed for him, that constantly thought about Paul and just prayed for Paul to be successful. That's how we got to think about each other. We got to pray for the success of all of us so we can go out and reach souls and reach those who are lost. When we think about the unity we need as a church, we can think about Acts chapter 2 at verse number 47. Let's turn there. And then I tricked y'all. I got one more thing to talk about. But in Acts chapter 2 at verse number 47, we see the church in perfection. Even though we know God, Christ's bride is already perfect. But look what it says. At verse number 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When we look at our example of how we want to be, we need to read this. It said they were all on one accord. They all had the same fellowship. They all believed the same thing. That was Jesus Christ. And they had that perfect unity. To the point they was giving away stuff to help their brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why 1 John chapter 3 at verse number 16 through 18, it's amazing how that parallels to John 3:16. That's the way God put it. But he says, you see your brother, I'm paraphrasing, you see your brother, he's hungry. You look at him day to day, but you tell him to go on about yourself. I'm bringing it into our day and time how we speak. Go on about yourself, brother, you're going to be all right. But you see that he has a need, and Jesus Christ because that's in the book of James. As James is saying, look at it. Look how hypocritical that is. You say you got a relationship with your brother and sister in Christ, but you won't even help them with the things that they need. So we as Christians, we got to know what's going on with our brothers and sisters. You know what that's going to take? Us getting in each other's lives. Just picking up the phone, because we all got smartphones. You know, unless somebody still got a dumb phone. But we all got smartphones. Pick them up. Call. Because I guess the dumb phones are the flip phones, right? With no technology on them. You know, it's just black and white. No, none of that stuff like we have today with the new phones. Call each other. Check up on each other. See how we're doing. See what's going on. Because you might call, I don't know about you, when a brother and sister called me out the blue, I might be going through a bad day. But when they call me, I can just be happy. I have a smile from here to down the street almost. Because that's somebody thinking about me. You know what I'm saying? And when we take time to invest into one another, that's when the unity of the church
will grow.
But also in this process, I know we use this scripture, turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19. And also the other scriptures, Colossians 3:16. But I wanted to talk about this a little bit because I forgot to write it in my pages. It was on my notes and everything. You know, sometimes we take this, we know this is talking about worship. But we need to also put this in our own lives. Singing songs. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us, we just come to church to sing? We need to be making a habit of singing praises. I remember I was at work one time, it was about 3 or 4 years ago. I was singing On the Hill, Far Away or whatever. And my journey indicator, he said, "Boy, you sound like you're singing an old song." He started laughing, like, "You singing an old song, man." He said, "We don't sing like that no more, do we?" I was like, "Nah, but we sing hymns that we can read and that we can study." But in that process, we sing with joy. We sing praises unto God. We need to be taking that into our personal lives. Because sometimes when we have an opportunity to sing, is the only time we sing is in this building. Something's wrong with that. We need to be taking that hymn book. I don't know. Now, don't be stealing the property now. But get you a hymn book and take it home and sing. Even though you might not be the best singer, it doesn't matter. Guess what? God knows what's in your heart. If you got a tune, you can take that and sing that song. You know what I mean? You know how to sing some of those songs, over 100. It's went over 600, 700 songs in that book. Take one and just learn it and read it and put it in your heart and study it. Because when we sing, like when I go to the gym now, I can't have just any kind of music. I got to have that music that's going to make me work out. So I'm going to have workout music that motivates me. And that's the same way when we sing spiritual song, when we sing those hymns, it is to motivate us. Because we're singing to God. And we're appreciating everything he has done for us in our lives. We turn to Colossians chapter 3 at verse 16, and then this lesson will be yours. If you'll turn your Bibles over to Colossians chapter 3. At verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Look at what it's telling. Y'all remember when Paul and Silas was in jail? First of all, they put them in maximum security. They had guards everywhere. They even put their feet, or they chained their feet to the floor like they were just real criminals, like they did a hardcore crime. But you know what Paul, it said, I will read that at midnight. I don't know about you. Do anybody get up at midnight to sing? Nah, most of us sleeping because we got to go to work. But it said at midnight, they were singing and praising God. They in jail. What'd they say about us? Again, Paul and Silas had their mind fixed on the cross. Because when they was going through that, again, like James said in James chapter 1, when they was going through that trial or that tribulation, they was looking to the cross. They was looking to continue to work in the Lord, because we know what happened in there. They end up converting to who? The jailer. Paul was working. Paul and Silas continued to work for the Lord, even in the critical or the messed up situation that he was in. So when we think about our spiritual workout plan or our spiritual fitness plan, all these things we need to have. Plan your spiritual fitness program first. Study the word of God. 3, prayer is our communication line to God. Fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And also, sing and make melody in your heart unto the Lord. That's what it's all about, people. And I just pray and hope that this lesson will motivate us to continue to strive to look like Jesus. Continue to strive to walk in this Christian life. Because when you think about it, if you're not a child of God, You're living a hopeless life. And that's the real truth. Because what's better than being in Jesus Christ, knowing that one day when you die that you may live eternally with God in heaven? Ain't nothing that can take me away from God. So we all should have that same mind, just like Paul. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But like I was saying, we're not trying to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're not trying to look like Captain America. We're not trying to look like all these people who are in shape. But we're trying to look like our model, Jesus Christ. So if you need to come down and you need to obey that glorious gospel that Paul said he's not ashamed of, you need to get in the Lord. But you have to make decisions in your life that when you come, that you need to repent of your sin. But also what Peter told him in Acts chapter 2 at verse number 38. The first of all, they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. But you need to die to yourself. So it's up to you to make that decision. Nobody is going to force your hand. And you have that same opportunity that we all who are Christians took to follow Jesus Christ as we sang the invitational song.